Well, hello, church.
Is this portable? Because my eyes can see you better if I'm a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
We're working on that. We're believing God, right? Good vision here. How's everybody doing? You look great tonight. Got a good word for you. And I even emailed some scriptures so they could put it up and it would save some time and, you know, how we want to kind of move things along, okay? So track with me. I've got a great message from the Lord. He's doing some things in my life, so I thought, you know, let's just put it out there and see what happens and see if it'll resonate with your heart. I'd like you to go ahead, and we're going to pray in a minute, but turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time together, Lord. What a great opportunity to be home again with my pastors, Mark and Brenda. And Father, it feels so good here to be here. Thank you for your Spirit that leads and guides us, that He's the great teacher, and we lean into Him tonight. We thank you for grace deposits in our heart that will carry us through not only the holidays, but through the new year and years to come. We thank you that we can take this word and tell others about it, teach others that are struggling. And Father, we're so glad that you sent Jesus. He's the center and circumference of everything in our life. We do not forget to give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at that scripture in Isaiah. We all know this around Christmas time, you know, and we're just going to add to whatever your pastor has been teaching during the Christmas season. But Isaiah 9:6, we all realize that they're talking about the Messiah here. This is a prophetic scripture, right?
Yes.
Talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Let's read it out loud and together. Why don't we try that? Let's on three. One, two, three. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Now, I want to talk to you tonight, and this is my Christmas present to you. Really, it's Jesus' Christmas present to you. I want to talk to you tonight about the Prince of Peace. And I want to talk to you tonight about how it's not just a name, and how we're going to downline this same peace into our hearts so that we can maneuver through the chaos that's all around us all the time, right now in this season. And I'm going to tell you this, that's talking about Jesus. And one of his names is Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew, it's Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. He is Wonderful Counselor, he is Mighty God, but he is Prince of Peace. So when the Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, what I want you to do during this season is look right into perfect peace. Because that's what Jesus is. He's peace personified. And the Bible does tell us to do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me ask you the question. When you look to Jesus right now, what are you looking at? In the midst of all the chaos around you, what are you looking at when you're looking at Jesus? I want you to look at perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, the word look there in the Greek is the word scopus. It's where we get the word microscope, telescope. So it's not a casual look. It's a steady, steadfast gaze upon him. That's what's going to make you different than the other rank and file person that you come in contact with outside these walls. Your focus is going to be on the Prince of Peace. Life is turbulent. It's up and down, just like the stock market, especially now. So we've got to keep our eyes on something that's constant. Jesus Christ is the only constant one in the universe that does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he was called Prince of Peace back in the Old Testament as a prophetic utterance, he is still Prince of Peace today at the right hand of the Father. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
He does not change. He's the object of our faith. Now, when Jesus came to earth in this arena that we're living in, he didn't have to go around broadcasting this understanding of the quality that he carried with him, which was, you know, the shalom peace of God. He didn't have to go tell people about it. In other words, he didn't have to go up to people and introduce them. Hi, my name is Jesus. I'm Sar Shalom. You can call me Prince of Peace. No, he didn't have to do that because Jesus was very much into demonstrating that peace. So he didn't have to talk a lot about it in terms of, you know, the quality that he carried around. He just was peace personified. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
So here he is, and Jesus, he did this all the time. For instance, remember the time when the religious leaders of the time, they wanted to stone him to death. And the Bible says he walked right through the crowd in perfect control, in perfect peace. That's very cool, don't you think?
Yeah.
Another time, think about this. He was in the back of the boat with his disciples that were out fishing, and the devil just stirred up this storm out of nowhere, apparently. The disciples were scared to death. They were nervous. Jesus is asleep. Perfect peace. The shalom peace of God. And so it wasn't the devil that woke up Jesus. It was the cry of his disciples as they panicked that woke Jesus up. And he just simply said one thing, peace be still. He demonstrated the peace of God. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our peace. The Bible says he is our peace. Pretty cool, right? Now, people today in the natural realm, and you'll agree with me about this, people today like to project coolness, don't they? Isn't that right? Well, there's a difference between projecting coolness and being cool under pressure. Does that make sense? There is a movement right now amongst the young people of our day. And this movement is it's real interesting because it's just a throwback from days gone by. It's called the hipster movement. Are you familiar with that? Raise your hand. Well, the rest of you can look it up in the Urban Dictionary. It's kind of a cross between the old beatnik movement of the late 50s, early 60s, and the full-on hippie movement throughout the 60s. They're a very intellectual crowd, yet they like to stand out. It's not just about skinny jeans. It's about really standing out and being cool. There's a coolness factor going on there. They're projecting coolness. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when someone projects coolness, you don't know whether or not they're going to stay cool under pressure. Wearing skinny jeans does not make one cool, necessarily, like Jesus is cool. Jesus is cool, friends. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Say this with me. He is my peace.
He is my peace.
Now, here's a scripture right here. Now, let me set this up for you. Jesus, the night before he was going to be betrayed, he gave his last will and testament. He had some very important things on his heart to tell his friends, his disciples. And he goes on, and I think it's John chapter 14, verse 25 through 31. So if we've got that, that'll be great. Can we look at that together? John 14, 25 through 31. It does one verse at a time. So we'll turn in our Bibles. We'll old school it, right? Oh, okay, good. Okay, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Now, he's trying to help his disciples get ready for the big day when he was going to leave to go to be at the right hand of the Father, right? But understand, he wasn't going to leave them comfortless, but he was preparing them. Okay, so, but the Helper, right, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, he's our advocate, standby. He is everything, our counselor, everything we need on this planet, in the earth arena. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Next. Peace I leave. Now notice, right on the heels of that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
That's right.
Neither let it be afraid. Now, when Jesus said, "My peace I leave you," right off the bat, we see that it wasn't just an ordinary peace. It wasn't just some generic brand of peace that he was talking about. Jesus, of course, when he was talking to his disciples, especially when he was teaching, whether it be his disciples or others, the multitude, he would speak in Hebrew or Aramaic, right? There's a debate whether they were speaking Greek too, but they were multilingual. But he would be speaking either Hebrew or Aramaic to them. And that word peace is the same in the Old Testament. It's the shalom, peace of God. Say shalom.
Shalom.
You've all heard that before, right? Now the word shalom, this kind of peace, this quality of peace, is supernatural. It means wellness, it means wholeness, right? As well as peace of heart and peace of mind. Now, sometimes when we talk about peace in our vocabulary, we think that peace is just the absence of strife, the absence of conflict. Well, that's not the brand of peace that Jesus is bringing. It goes way beyond that. Wholeness, completeness, wellness. James Strong of Strong's Concordance says that shalom is, number one, it's prosperity. Number two, it's wholeness, it's healing. So it's a full-orbed quality that he brings us. And we know that to be true because in the redemption itself, we're not only saved in terms of our eternal salvation, we also carry around this quality of life that gives us the healing in our body that we need. By his stripes we are healed. Also the needs to be met, right, in our life. He became poor so that we might become what? Rich. Not necessarily all of us being millionaires, but having more than enough and enough to give to other people. A full supply. Say full supply.
Full supply.
So that's what shalom peace is. That's what it means to be whole. Like a whole number when you took math. Integral. That's where we get the word integrity. It's whole, right? It's complete. The complete package. And so Jesus is saying to us, my shalom peace I leave with you. I want you to remember that. In other words, the same peace that you saw in me when I was about to be stoned to death, the same peace that you saw in me when the devil ruffled up that storm, the same peace you saw me walk in, I am giving it to you. Isn't that special? That's good to know. It's good to know right now in the times we're living. He says, it's not as the world gives, give I to you. It's not peace that comes through like yoga meditation, you know. Breathe from your belly. Like you learn at Pilates, Pontius Pilates. I have nothing against any of those. Yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, whatever, in the natural realm. So don't run out and say I'm against that. But we need something much more robust than that if we're going to make it through. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It is a good word. It is like, can I get a good amen? Huh? I mean, things are turbulent. Things are up and down. They're moving and shaking all around you. Sometimes you don't have time to take a deep breath or a series of deep breaths because the wind has been knocked out of you. Now, someone might say, if Jesus gave me this gift, which it says he gave us, then why don't I have it? I mean, he must have passed me by, Pastor. No, he didn't pass you by. If Jesus said he gave us something, he gave it to us. He does not lie. My peace I give unto you. He didn't say, my peace I give to just some folks that are spiritual, some that are, you know, in the peripheral and the supernatural and, you know. No, he said he gave this gift. It's for anyone who will apprehend it through him. If Jesus said he gave us something, then he did give us something. He's not lying about this. He's no respecter of persons at all. But there's a responsibility on our part in all of this. Jesus said for us to let not our hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So if you want peace in the midst of a storm in your life, you need to let not. Now, pastors Mark and Brenda can't let not for you. Your wife cannot let not for you. You can't delegate that to someone else or relegate it to other people. This is something Jesus calls us to do and take ownness of. And it's possible to do it. Jesus put the responsibility on us to steward our soul and our spirit, our heart. And he gave us the Holy Spirit, so it's possible to do this with his help, the helper, right? Now, we've got to let not, that's our part, let not our hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Now, Proverbs 4:23, can we put that up there? And we'll get back to this. Proverbs 4:23 says, and this is the Amplified, keep and guard your heart. Notice, who's going to be doing that for you? You are. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. In the Hebrew, it literally means guard your heart with all your guarding. Good. Now, here's what I know for sure. There are a lot of people, and I'm not talking about you because you're being taught well here. There are a lot of people outside these four walls that are guarding a lot of things in life. They're guarding their finances, their 401k plans, they're guarding their careers, they're guarding their families, they're guarding their pets, I don't know, you name it. They're guarding their health, they're guarding, you know, just fill in the blank. But God never told you that you had to guard those things and take the care of those things. He simply wants you to guard your heart. And here's the deal. When you guard your heart, and you do the right thing from an inward point of view, he'll guard all those other things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? They're guarding everything but what God is asking them to guard. God never asked us to guard those things as a believer. The only thing the Word tells us to guard is our heart that I can see. And here's the beautiful thing. If we'll just do that, let not our heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's guarding our heart, right? Am I right? Yes. Then I believe God will guard everything out. And someone says, well, I just got a bad report. God will guard that bad report. Amen. He'll watch guard over that. That bad report isn't the final word in your life. You just guard your heart. With all vigilance. Paul said this. He said, I am persuaded that he, Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Now, everyone here, I'm assuming, most of you are believers. You have committed your eternal welfare to him. You don't worry about that every time you go to sleep at night. You have committed that to him. It's the blood of Jesus that covers you. But do you know there are some lesser things that you can commit to him? And that's part of this whole idea of guarding your heart. All those other things we can commit to him, he's just simply asking us to take care of the inward, not letting fear and trouble come in to our hearts. Now, you see, when you do that, here's the beautiful thing. When you do that, and you don't have to be a perfect spiritual person to do that. I'm going to show you some things about this that will help you do that. Guard your heart. But when you start guarding your heart from trouble and fear, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost starts to flood your spirit, your heart. And that, my friends, is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you're doing that, and you're seeking the kingdom of God like that, all of these other things, according to Matthew 6, all of these other things that you need that pertain to you will be added. Amen. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That comes out of a free heart, a heart that is not troubled, that's not afraid. Now, here's what you can expect. Big revelation coming. Here's what you can expect in all this. Whenever you face a problem, whenever you face a need, big or small, doesn't matter, because, hey, there are things that come into my little life that may trouble me that may not trouble you. There are things that you have going on, circumstances that you're facing, that I might not have a problem with as far as faith is concerned. But you're struggling in that area. We all have little trigger points where the devil tries to take advantage of us. But whatever problem faces you, if you will just guard your heart from allowing trouble and fear in, listen, at that point, in that state of freedom in your heart, if it's a miracle you need, it's a miracle you get. And that's what you can expect from the Father God. Because he's not asking anything else. It's unmerited favor. He just wants us to receive it. And our heart will be good ground. Good soil. Right? Because it's been guarded. It's trouble-free. It's fear-free. Can I get a good amen? Does anybody agree with that? That's good. Somebody back there. Is that helping you, sister? I saw the big hand go back there. That's good, man. Now, someone says, Pastor, how can I start guarding my heart? Well, we only have like 20 minutes here, so here's the deal. The biggest thing I can tell you right now, as believers that are on a learning curve and maturing, okay, a lot of you are not baby Christians. A lot of you have been around this. I know Pastor teaches you well. The number one thing you can start doing right now is to quote that verse. Speak it to yourself. I say it to myself often, if I can, out loud. If there's people around me, I'll just say it under my breath. Michael, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm speaking to my own heart. No one else is speaking to me that word. I'm speaking to myself. Quote that verse. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whenever you feel a fearful thought come to your mind, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You see, Jesus defeated the devil by quoting what? Scriptures. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner between the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is like a sword. Jesus modeled that. He quoted scriptures whenever Satan came to accuse him, because he's the father of lies, and try to defeat him. He just simply did that. And when you do that, you begin to release the power for the fulfillment of that word in your heart. So let's say this together. In fact, let's do this as an exercise of faith. Let's all stand up for a minute. I mean, you know, it's okay to do that. We'll just pretend you're in Pilates or something. I don't know. Just whatever. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, this is a spiritual exercise. I want you to think about this. Try to stay out of your head, okay? The intellectual realm. In fact, I want you to draw a line, for instance, like right across your shoulder blades. And think to yourself, I'm not going to listen to up here. I'm just going to listen to down here, okay? Because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. And I want you to close your eyes. Say this with me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We'll say it again. We're listening down here. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. One more time. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Now you can sit down. Now, did you sense that? Because I did. Did you notice the spiritual effect it had on your heart? Not your head. Your heart. Like my spiritual father, Brother Hagin, once said, he said, you can have, you know, doubts coming to your mind, but you can still have faith in your heart. Amen. See, that's why you have to listen to your heart. That's why you have to keep your heart free from fear and trouble. So you can listen. Notice the effect of peace that came over you. For instance, a problem arises. It presents itself right to you. It just out of the blue, right? You start to have some doubts in your mind. You start to have some fearful thoughts come that start to trouble your heart. And so you begin to quote that verse, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so you start to regain that sense of peace. You start to get some peace in your heart, but the problem is still there. I said the problem is still there. And so we've got to understand that you've already done your part, right? What did Jesus say to do? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You sensed the peace of God, right? At that point, if it's a miracle you need, it'll be a miracle you'll get. Because if it's out of your control, if it's something you can't deal with, let me tell you, we've been taught the principles of faith, right? But I'm telling you what, your faith will operate much better when your heart is free from fear and trouble. Now go back with me to John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. We're just moving right along here. And I want to show you how the Holy Spirit comes into play with this whole idea of gaining that peace, the shalom peace of God. Because the Holy Spirit and peace, they're inextricably tied together. When Jesus started talking about peace, right, it was right on the heels of talking about the Holy Spirit coming, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Isn't that great? Now, how does this work together in terms of gaining that peace of God, that shalom peace of God? Well, let me just share with you a little bit. If we're going to stay true to the... It says he'll teach us and show us all things, right? Yeah. That's one of his attributes. He's the Helper. He's the great teacher. And he's not going to just show you spiritual things, because a lot of religious people will try to talk you out of this now. Oh, well, the Holy Spirit's just going to show you spiritual things and, you know, in the spiritual realm and, you know, the peripheral realm. But let me tell you something. He will teach you things pertaining to the material realm that you're dealing with, the problems you're facing here on earth. Remember, it was a spiritual being that called into existence the material world that we live in. So when he says he'll teach us all things, say all, that word means all things. That means if you're a teacher, he'll make you a great teacher. He'll show you how to do that and give you favor. If you're a mechanic, he'll show you how to be a great mechanic. Whatever. Don't spiritualize that. When I say don't spiritualize, that means don't just put it in a box and say it's only regarding spiritual things that he will show us. He wants to help us. He's our helper. When you get to heaven, you don't need any more help. Right? He was sent. Jesus said, hey, it's far better that I go away because, you know, the helper is going to come. He is sent to help us out, man. And then he says peace right after that, right after the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I believe. Now, listen to this. Here's what I truly believe. If we're going to stay in full context with this scripture and read it all the way through, it reveals to us that the Holy Spirit operates on the wavelength of peace. It's hard to hear from God when your heart is troubled and afraid. People make wrong decisions when they have a fearful heart. People do things that they wouldn't otherwise do when they feel troubled in their heart. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so he gives us the Holy Spirit, and then he says, peace. But here's the good news. When you face a problem, and you will, if you will refuse to allow the initial shock that would cause the fear to come down and reside in a stronghold, as a stronghold in your heart, if you refuse to do that, then the Holy Spirit will direct you pertaining to those things. And he will show you a door out of that situation. Or he will open a door, supernaturally open for that situation. But he operates on the wavelength of peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is why you can't pray worried prayers. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, God loves you. And can I say one thing? There are going to be times in your life, and it's because of the grace of God, his unmerited favor. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to get sideswiped. It could be a full-on attack from Satan to mess you up, to get you off course. And there may be times that you don't respond quite the way you should. But because of his grace and his mercy, he's willing to front some of that peace. But as a maturing believer, he wants you to steward your heart so that peace can remain. But there are going to be occasions. I can think of one before we get to this scripture, where I was very anxious and very nervous. and having, you know, this unbelievable oppressive feeling of just cycling through, you know, some thoughts. And this happened when I lost a loved one, when I in my early 20s and mid-20s, and I'd just gotten Spirit-filled. I was saved, but I'd just gotten Spirit-filled, and I knew how to pray in the Spirit, and that helped to some degree. But I remember just working through and just getting tormented in my spirit, in my soul, just trying to get over, you know, some of the shock of the whole thing. And so at that point, the Holy Spirit, there was a moment, I didn't ask him to do that. I was trying to do what I could, pray in the Spirit, be by myself, you know, do things. And I just, you know, you know how it is when you get bombarded and you're cycling through and you just can't get that weight off. All of a sudden, right behind me, no one in the room, I heard an audible voice. And that was the first time I've ever heard an audible voice from God or the Holy Spirit. And I believe it was God revealed it was the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Stop." I was doing what I could. But I didn't know all this about stewarding my heart, and I was just doing the best I could. There are going to be times when, because of his grace and mercy, he'll show up on the team, on the scene, and just manifest that peace. Then you got to steward it, so you stay there. But notice, be anxious for nothing. See, that's the first thing regarding any kind of transaction in prayer. What did the Bible say? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that's be anxious for nothing, so get your heart right. Then you start praying. But in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? Supplication is asking him for something. Next verse. Can we get the next verse? Well, and the next verse is, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will rule your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? Be anxious for nothing. Make the supplication, the request. And in that environment, the peace of God, right? Anxious for nothing first. Guard your heart. Talk to yourself. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 33. This would be the final scripture. Now let's take a look at that real quickly. Jesus speaking, he says, but seek first, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. Sorry about that, guys. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What's the thing? What's Jesus interested in getting across here? Therefore I say, do not worry, right? That's the kingdom dynamic that he wants to get across. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink. In other words, the natural things in life, the problematic things that we try to deal with in life, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Next scripture. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. In other words, they're not frenetically looking on, you know, as to how they're going to make a dollar, right? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Well, of course, you're the crown of his creation, right?
Yes.
Next verse. Which of you can, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? That's kind of a joke. Jesus is kind of being thrown some humor out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really.
So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. This is Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just tell you where this is. He's looking over Galilee. I've been there. I've been where he preached this sermon. It's beautiful. You sit there on the hill. You're looking down at Tiberias, the lake. You're looking at the whole view. And you can see why Jesus wanted to hang out at the lake. Why he made that his home base. Do you see what I'm saying? In Galilee. And it's beautiful. We went around, you know, before spring, right, end of February, and you'll see the little white lilies. And then all of a sudden, you'll be reading scripture, and the little bird will fly by, tweet, tweet, tweet. Yeah. Go on to the next scripture. So you're looking at all this.
Yeah.
Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Next scripture. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That's important. Because some people will spiritualize this. Well, God will, you know, he'll make you a pauper. He'll make you a millionaire. You never know what you're going to be. No, he knows what you need. You can know what he's going to do in your life. After all these things the Gentiles seek for, Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Next. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You can't be righteous enough in your works. He made you that. So you're qualified. You're qualified by the blood of Jesus. You're seeking first the kingdom of God in that sense and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All these things, if you just simply don't worry, if you'll guard your heart, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Am I right? Awesome. Can I get a good amen?
Yeah.
God loves you more than the birds and the flowers.
Yes, he does.
He loves you more than them. He knows you have needs, and he wants those needs added to you. But here's what I want you to know. We need to be a vessel that can receive those needs. And I want you to think about it this way. Just picture, you know, like garden hoses coming down from heaven, each one filled with the grace of God for various things. The Bible talks about the manifold grace of God. Grace comes in many forms. There's a grace for your healing, for prosperity, for your relationships, a grace to, you know, for your career to do things, a standing grace, grace for ministry, all kinds of things. And it's flowing all the time. It's flowing all the time. Would to God we be under the spout where the glory comes out. So the only thing that would prohibit the grace of God coming into your life to take care of your situation is when you take that garden hose, grab it, and twist it like you would, you know, you understand, to stop the flow. And that's what worry does. And then all of a sudden, you know, the devil will give you a lying symptom that you don't have enough. You looked at your statement, you went online, you checked your balance, and then you really get a tight grip on that, and now it's just dripping. Blip. Lip. You gotta squeeze that thing. And you start, you know, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! And Jesus is saying, I'm here for you. I'm loving you. I'm here for you. I've been here the whole time. I've got my grace. I can take care of that. Are you understanding this? Crude illustration, but works. Grace is flowing all the time. The cares of this life really do choke the word. And so, the Father really loves you. He really does. And he doesn't want you just to stop worrying, just to say, stop worrying. And then you go to church and some preacher will stand up there, don't worry! Worry's sin! How many of you know that doesn't work? Because now you're not only worried about the problem, you're worried that you're sinning. He loves you. He's your Father. He knows you have these needs down here. And he knows that the number one thing, that the only thing that's going to slow things down is when we have troubled hearts, fearful hearts. He loves you. He really does. And he says, don't worry, because not because it's sin, because it's clogging up the pipes. You cannot get God not to love you.
That's for sure.
Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? My peace I give you, not as the world gives, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Neither let it be afraid. Pastor Mark, awesome. We're done. Did you enjoy the word?
Great.
Praise the Lord.